So at this time, we're going to have our official little mini parish meeting, and we're going to have three reports, one from our senior warden, David Tarwater. He'll go first, and then our treasurer, Bill Ainsworth, and then I'll wrap it all up, and then we'll have our nominations for vestry confirmed. So, David?
Good morning. So I'm still not sure. I've been a year into being a senior warden, and I'm still not sure exactly what that role is. But one of the things I like about it, a couple of things I like about it is I get to, in most cases, meet with Father Robert once a week. We have a little private meeting. Now, last year's been so chaotic, we don't always get to do that. I miss that. But we do get together as often as we can. And a lot of my words today I've shared with him privately. And so the other thing is I get to meet with the vestry. I'm part of the vestry once a month. And we moved to a Zoom meeting. And I was telling Vivian, my wife, is, you know, this time last year I didn't know what the word Zoom meant. And so anyway, we've moved that. But you know, it's a great group of people. We're very diverse. I very much value what they say, their opinions, and I know Robert does too. So I enjoy being part of that. I asked Father Robert. I called him and I said, "What should I speak on?" He said, "Well, speak on your heart." And that's just like Robert. You know, just like okay, just whatever. So he's heard a lot of these comments, like I was telling you, and I'll start by telling a story that one of the things I haven't had to give up this past year was fishing. And I love to fish. And I'm one of the cheaters, and I know my son-in-law is listening right now. He calls me a cheater because I use live bait whenever I can get it. And Robert Dusty calls me a cheater too, but one of the places I get my bait is at Fisherman's Discount, which is just south of Fairhope. And, man, I love those people. And every time I go back now, it's like I see them. I value them because it's something I value, and I've learned to value it even more. So I say that to say, talk about our staff, because I've seen a little bit of what they've been through this year. And I think we as a congregation have learned to value them more this year. And we went from a church that really didn't have an online presence or very little one to a church of basically shut-ins overnight or within just a week or two. And so we've had to adapt even where we're meeting right now. Wasn't prepared for this. We're still adapting to it. We didn't have enough bandwidth, and that's another story there too. And you know, how do you create that? Well, the staff had to create of it, and they didn't have a playbook to play with. So just to let you know, like Father Mark, he was supposed to have his sabbatical this past year.
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay, still hadn't happened. You know. Wendell, you know, had to totally redesign his ministry. It wasn't of his choice, but he rolled with it. Taylor has gone to a Zoom presence and stayed in touch very closely with, where's Taylor? Anyway, wherever he is, there he is, okay. Way to go, Taylor. It's really been a gift to this church. Gabe has been another gift. You know, he's a jack of all trades. You see him up here singing today and just has a sense of integrity that we're lucky to have. Ruth had to redesign her ministry here, and you know, she just lost her mother. It's been a difficult year. But you know, I could say the same about Walt, Dan, Pam, Lynn. Betsy, finally Bishop Neal, who's been a real stalwart leader for us this year. Couple of other thanks. I want to thank our medical personnel. We've become closer to them. I think we saw them. I think we appreciate them, but now we appreciate them more. And the first responders. I personally gained a lot of respect for those that work in our nursing homes. And they put themselves out in a very vulnerable spot. They took care of my mother. My mother passed away, but it was a very gracious time of passing. They were very gracious. It's just a place to show our appreciation, my appreciation. And finally, I come from a family of teachers. And they didn't sign up for what they got last year. And I see it very personally in their lives. And I think we realize again how important our teachers are and how important education is. And and just to move on a little bit past that, for many of us, like me personally and my business, this has been last year was a great year. And mine's tied to the housing business, which has boomed during this whole time. Who would have thunk it? And it wasn't something I planned for or anything, but you know, some of us are in those. But some of us are not. And our community's been really stung by this thing. We have to acknowledge that. I mean, if you look at, if you ever drive by and see the lines at the food, at the Prodigy Pantry, it's just amazing. The amount of food they're putting out now, our community's been really touched by this thing. Also, our families that deal with mental illness and or addiction, overall, this has been a terrible year for them. And it's difficult to get the resources anytime, but specifically during COVID, it's been almost impossible to receive some of those basic services that they need. We as a congregation, I tell this to Robert, you know, we need to address that. So I do want to acknowledge that this church's done much for our community. And it, those of you here that have your bulletins, on the last page, it lists our mission involvement in the Bay Area. Now, for whatever reason, our church attracts leadership to those that serve the most vulnerable of our community. And I'm really proud of that. I'm proud to be a member of a church where leaders that go out reach out to those vulnerable. So I'll read them for those that are home: the Ecumenical Ministries, Family Promise, Kairos, I probably didn't say that right, correctly. The Mobile Rescue Mission, The Shoulder, Under His Wings, Young Life, Dwell Mobile Refugee Ministry, Alabama Free Clinic, Shepherd's Place, Prodigy Pantry, which I mentioned a little bit earlier, The Lighthouse, and Women's Care Medical. And then also on our international community, the Combat Haiti, I'll mention that too. We as a church support all those ministries, and we've been able to support them in a greater fashion. I think Bill will allude to that in just a minute. So I'll conclude by thanking each of you for your loyalty to our church. And I want to thank again our staff for what you did this year and what you're going to do next year. God bless each of you and in this next year. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments, David, and thank you, Robert. I do want to express my sincere appreciation for being asked to continue serving as your church treasurer, even after rolling off my 3 years as a vestry member. I'm quite flattered to be honored with that request. Happy to do so. And as David mentioned, everybody knows how significant COVID was to our community, our own personal lives, and the economic times of our community. It's been very uncertain. However, in spite of that, the church had a great year. Our expenditures were $43,000 less than our receipts. Those receipts did not include any loans, any grants, or any special gifts that we received. So that's even better than that. We were $10,000 better off than we were in the prior year. Also, Robert and his staff did a great job. We held our expenditures $14,000 below budget this year. Mentioned grants and loans. We received a $54,000 payroll protection plan grant through the CARES Act. It appears that we may not have to repay that at all. However, in the event that we do have to repay it, the terms are very, very attractive, and we can accommodate that repayment very easily. We did receive a $15,000 grant and a $10,000 grant from the state of Alabama, and we've applied those grants to improvements to the campus and capital expenditures. We also have over $200,000 in cash in the bank. Only $24,000 of that is restricted for funds and prepaid expenses. David mentioned about improving our gifts to our missions. The vestry approved a $15,000 additional gift out of our surplus to be added to our local missions. We will continue to fund 5% of our receipts will be going to the diocese, and another 5% of our receipts will go to local missions and other benevolences. I'm also pleased to report that our mortgage is now down to $261,000. Last year, we paid $163,000 toward the principal of that mortgage, a big part of that from the Whaley estate. We're presently paying about $5,000 a month on the principal. Based on that schedule and that pace, we should have our mortgage paid off in 4 years if nothing changes. We did have an audit. First time in many years we had an audit this past year in August, and we passed with flying colors. We have approved changing our budget year from July to June instead of the calendar year to adjust for COVID uncertainties, and always in the month of December is much larger giving. And we just wanted to be able to normalize our budget when it's not such a hectic time and we can see what our year-end giving amounts to. This change will have no effect on your giving records, which will remain on a calendar year basis. For the first 6 months of this year, we're going to continue to operate on our 2020 budget. Just know that financial reports are always available to you on your request, and we also welcome your questions at any time. I want to thank you, too, for your faithful giving during these uncertain and difficult times, and also thank Father Robert and the staff for their great stewardship. Thank you so much.
That's some good stuff. I give a hand to these guys. So, I like to go last so I can, if I need to, I can prune, and so I can prune. That was just great sharing. And I just want to say a couple of things to kind of get us going. And one, there's a program that joined us early last year called Nature Connect. It is a profit business, and it's a young woman in our community who actually this is her third group. She has one in Wilmington, North Carolina, and also one in Ohio. And they, because of COVID, there was a demand for kids having a place to go outside. And her work has just exploded and is now here full time. I know Wendell and Hannah, Issa participates in that. And the families that are coming to this program, many of them are unchurched. And they are finding this place and encountering us. And it's just been a beautiful thing. So that's just one of the fruits. And I will say this, as we've given them the space to do this, we have received so much more, not only from families, but their commitment to the upkeep of the properties, which is a lot. So I just wanted to tag that. It was not in my notes. She was actually at the 8 o'clock service and asked me to add that. So I did do that. So just a couple of things. First of all, for me personally, it's been a year of going really deeper. We ended the year with emotionally healthy spirituality, which was just a huge gift to me personally. Also, on a diocesan level, our bishop has been so faithful to have us meet regularly. I mean, initially it was bi-monthly, twice a month. Now we meet once with the diocese and once as a local deanery. And this is with clergy that usually only see once a year. I've felt so much more connected, encouraged, and being able to share stories. So I don't know whether that's true for all of you, but for me, with some of the tasks that, and duties that I have kind of put on hold, it's given me a lot more time to reflect and pray and to move a little bit slower. Now, I don't have children. And this is the first parish meeting we've ever had with children in here. And so I do know that we pray for you guys. And one of the responses we made at the beginning of the year was, how can we best facilitate our children? And it's not easy, is it, Ruth, from a children's ministry point of view? And so keep praying for that. Any of you have a heart for children, doesn't matter where you are in your age, please see Ruth. We're going to be launching our in-person gathering again on the first Sunday of Lent, which is the 21st of February. So what does the way forward look like for us? What is going to be our rhythm as a church? Is it going to be the normal, regular rhythm that we had before? I don't think so. We as a small church, we're not prepared for online ministry. We didn't produce a service before this. We had to really work on it. Now we're realizing that that's going to be a part of our ongoing ministry, and our gatherings are going to be smaller. I just don't see us having one service where 200 of us can gather anytime in the near future. Smaller gatherings, more gatherings, and the key, I believe, is connecting, not just gathering. How can we, as a body of Christ, that some of us have had to kind of leave the building, so to speak, how can we connect with one another, support one another? Our mission is to gather people to Christ, so we're doing that both in person and online, form disciples of Christ. How can we form one another when we're not all here? And then send servants for Christ. That's our mission. That mission hadn't changed, but the how-to has had to change. So I'm going to suggest a couple of things. Number one, more one-on-one discipleship. More one-on-one or two-on-two, smaller units, kind of like little groups together, caring for one another, discipling one another. And if we're more about connecting one another so we can form and send, then that means it's a two-way street. And I'll just confess that the model of ministry that I was trained under years ago and that I've kind of brought forward is kind of like, we, the staff, do ministry. You come and participate. But we need a much more shared ministry if we're going to move forward, truly forming one another for Christ and then sending one another out. So that's really about all I had to say. But it's so important. It's a two-way street. And it's a two-way street for those of you who have the need to stay home or those of you who have chosen to stay home. We're still in this ministry together, and we need to hear from one another. One of my old senior wardens used to say this, you know, Robert, the door swings both ways to the church. In other words, people can come in as much as you can go out, and I can go out as much as you can come in. So let's do this together, all right? Let's do it in friendships. Not so much a family, but in friendships, truly knowing one another and engaging one another. So I want to close with just one question. When you're in these one-on-one relationships, these two-on-two relationships, whatever the smaller relationship, ask yourself, where are you being discipled from? I don't know, that's probably not good English. You know, ending with a preposition. I think you can end with a preposition these days, can't you? I think that's good. So where are you being discipled from? In other words, who's discipling you? Are the creeds and the scriptures and the life of the church, the liturgy? I mean, the liturgy has just formed me just all of my life. You know, I believe God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe His kingdom is now and forever. I believe it forms you. Is that what's forming you? Or where are you getting your information? There's so much, I know, in this time of having to be out, there's so much information out there. A lot of it is good. But is it forming you? Is it being formed within the framework of this faith that we believe? This creedal faith, this sacramental understanding that has mystery and all of that. Those are questions that we ought to be asking one another. That we ought to be asking one another the harder questions of faith as we journey in this together. Amen? Amen. So at this time, I'm going to ask Eddie Rowe and Jessica Deese to come forward. And I want to just say this. The way we do our nominations for vestry here, we have a certain criteria for that nomination, and I have people bring those nominations. Not everybody knows how to ask those criteria. One of them is their giving, and that's not something that's public knowledge. So if I get a list of, say, five candidates, I will meet with those candidates and go over these criteria, and if they meet those criteria, then they are put forward as a slate. This year, we only had two of those that came forward, and we had two slots. Isn't that amazing? So we've got Jessica and Danny, and I want to ask you guys in front of this congregation, both online and present, that with God's help, are you willing to fulfill the duties that are required to serve on the vestry at Church of the Apostles? All right. Well, we're going to offer a couple of prayers for you, okay? I'm going to go first, and then Father Mark has a prayer for you. You'll bow your heads, please. If you guys will extend your hands, let's just pray for these two nominees. This is a prayer for grace to seek God in every way, in every decision. Gracious and Holy Father, please give Eddie and Jessica the intellect to understand you, reason to discern you, diligence to seek you, wisdom to find you, a spirit to know you, a heart to meditate upon you, ears to hear you, eyes to see you, a tongue to proclaim you, a way of life pleasing to you, patience to wait for you, and perseverance to look for you. Grant them a perfect end in your holy presence. Amen. Mark?
Let's continue to pray, and let's just take a little bit of time for you just to pray yourselves. You be praying, not just amen. Would you just pray for Eddie and Jessica? And by extension, the whole vestry right now. Yes, Lord, we ask your blessing on these two and the whole vestry. You'd pour out your spirit upon them in a fresh new way. Give them wisdom and courage and vision and grace. We do pray for their families. We pray for Danny and Henry and Greta and Thompson and Ollie. We pray for Laura and Veda and Ruby, that you would protect them and bless their homes. We pray all this in the name of Jesus and for his honor and glory. Amen. Yeah.